This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca.
Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and Rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
The Rabble Podcast Network is 10 years old this year. Show your support by going to rabble.ca/donate.
You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 100.5 FM.
In 1962, the Dryden Chemical Company began operating a processing plant producing large amounts of chemicals to bleach paper at a nearby pulp and paper mill. The company discharged its effluent directly into the Wabagoon English River system, upstream from the Grassy Narrows and White Dog First Nations. In 1970, the mill was ordered to stop dumping effluent into the river after extensive mercury contamination was discovered in the river system. Many of the Grassy Narrows First Nations suffer from effects of mercury poisoning. Despite assurances that the river system would heal itself, mercury levels have continued to rise in some of the lakes in the watershed. Last month, a former employee of the mill revealed that he was involved with dumping drums of toxic chemicals into a plastic lined pit decades ago. Judy De Silva is a member of the Grassy Narrows First Nation. She spoke with Jane Williams yesterday from Kenora in Northern Ontario.
How much of your food did you get from the river and the lakes back in the 1960s?
I think most of our food was from the forest, including like wild game, like moose and deer, beavers, but the majority of it was fish because you can get it like all year round. If you couldn't get a moose, then the fish was always accessible. So it was mostly wild foods that we ate during that time.
I think that you were a teenager when the community first became aware of the mercury. How did that happen? How did you become aware of it?
I was born in 62, so my first knowledge of anything about mercury was when the Japanese came in 1972. So I was 10 years old, and I didn't really know what they were doing when they were taking hair samples, that they were doing all these tests on us. I was in school, and then I kind of forgot about it till I came back home in 1995. And then we started working on the anti-logging campaign. And then as we went along, we started finding out from, I think it was Dr. Newberry in 1990. He said, Judy, you need to do something about the mercury poisoning. And that was before he died. He was one of the people that advocated for us in the 1970s.
What are some of the symptoms of mercury poisoning?
Well, the mainstream things we learned of the symptoms is shaking, loss of balance, tunnel vision. So those are the mainstream ones. And then the late Dr. Harada from Japan, he even went as far as to say heart problems, hearing problems, diabetes effects. He went on to say that there are more effects from mercury, like because it filters through your liver and your kidneys, and it does damage there, and then it goes straight to the brain, and then it's bioaccumulative. So with each fish that you eat, it stays in your body, and then it does the damage as you get older.
Do you experience symptoms yourself?
Yeah, I went through the mercury testing in 1990, and that's Dr. Peter Newberry told me to try and get tested, and that's how I started being, you know, kind of pursuing this. And then I didn't get the mercury compensation till 2001. So I do have the mercury compensation, and I feel I'm getting worse, but I'm not as bad as some of our community members. There's people being diagnosed with Parkinson's and Kennedy's disease. So it's like all these different neurological problems being diagnosed, but we know it's mercury poisoning. For me, like the personal, my personal symptoms, I guess, would be dizziness and just a general feeling of feeling weak, unhealthy. I feel unhealthy.
What's been the approach of the Ontario government over the years? Not talking about the current government, but successive Ontario governments.
Well, the reason why I really, like we really start pursuing this is 1997, a Health Canada official came to Grafty and then they said, oh, we have good news. There is no more mercury in the water. And I wouldn't have thought nothing, but one of the nurses there in the community, she says, well, how come you're still telling the sports fishermen to only eat a certain limit of fish? How come you're not saying that to Grassy Narrows people? When she said that, it kind of put a red flag in my mind, like, yeah, why is that? So after that, we started doing... we did 4 contaminant studies, and we found there's still high levels of mercury in the fish. And Dr. Trish Sellers did a sediment study, and she found that mercury was still on the top sediment of in one of the samples she took. And she was curious, how come it's still on top? It's supposed to be buried. So this is kind of what started all this, like for us to pursue this. And so we've been putting all this information to the government, and this is kind of like at the height of us pressuring them to clean the river. So all this time, it's kind of been like, I feel like they've been crossing their fingers. Okay, let's hope they'll forget. That's kind of like what I feel, what was happening. And the people that had protested in 1975, they had passed on, many of our elders that had advocated for us had passed on. So I think they're really hoping we would kind of just leave it alone and just forget about it. But we're finding in the archives a lot of documents that are damaging their word. So I'm kind of glad like people are like seeing that this issue is still really alive and well.
There were revelations very recently of a new mercury dump by a former mill employee, Cass Glawacki, which came shortly after the report that you just mentioned that was by the freshwater scientist Patricia Sellers. What was your reaction to the news, to his news?
Well, the way I saw it was like, it's about time, because it's been just us, the Indigenous people, you know, trying to advocate for ourselves. And then when it came from a non-Native person, it's really helping us. And I'm hoping more people will come out of the woodwork and, you know, help us, because the mercury doesn't stop in Grassy. It keeps going. And we heard it even goes up to Lake Winnipeg and up to Hudson's Bay. Doesn't just stop in Grassy.
The people of the community had to stop drinking the water completely last August, now drinking bottled water, something unrelated to mercury. What was that?
That was, first we were on the boil water advisory for 2 years. That was to do with E. coli in the water. And then When the Minister of Environment were in the mercury working group, they did a 200 sample of our water system, and it's a water testing they do. That came from Walkerton tragedy, so they said, "Oh, we have this free program. We could do 200 water samples, and then just check for certain chemicals, and then." They found 3 chemicals you can't boil out. So that's when that water emergency happened. But that was a year later, like it was after it was actually 2014 that they found us, and then it was 2015 that one of the councilmen finally said, well, we need to do a water emergency because these chemicals, you can't boil them out. And since then, I've been told by one of our community people that are working on that water issue that the water's been good now for about maybe 6 months. They've worked out the issues. For me, it's a stark contrast to mercury poisoning compared to drinking water that can be fixed. So it seems very more simple than the mercury poisoning. That seems very massive because that's 10 tons of mercury that was dumped into the river system.
10 tons?
10 tons. 9,000 kilograms.
What is Kathleen Wynne saying about the possibility of cleanup?
For me, I feel like at the moment it seems like it's what did people say, fear-mongering, where they say you can't dredge the river because it's going to cause the mercury to be reintroduced into the river system again. So they say stuff like that. So it scares our community people to say, oh, no, you know, if we're going to clean the river system, then, you know, it's going to stir up the mercury again. You know, just leave it alone. So it's scaring the people. And I feel like they're not giving out the right information that they should be. It's almost like trying to scare us out of even considering the river to be cleaned up.
Now, in the report that you've already mentioned by Patricia Sellers, she made a number of recommendations. What did she recommend?
I know the bottom line is that the river can be cleaned up, that it's not impossible, and that's what mostly stays in my mind, and that's what I've held on to in my mind, is that it's possible, it's not impossible, and it can be started right away if only the government would, you know, sponsor the cost of doing it.
What are you asking people to do to support you in your fight to get your watershed cleaned up?
Most I'd like to ask people to continue advocating for water justice on First Nation communities, and because Grassy's not an isolated community with water issues, it's all across Turtle Island and all across to even Vancouver, where pipelines are risking watersheds, and even salmon, where the salmon come up, and even Mount Polly, there's that big spill that happened, that's going to have mercury. So I guess it's just waking up people to take it seriously that our water is at risk. In my area, in Grassy Narrows, we hold 20% of the world's fresh water in the Kenora area. It's called Land of 10,000 Lakes. So if all over the world there's drought, we hold fresh water here, and it's under the earth and it's protected. So if, you know, if they would help us get it cleaned up, you know, it would help a lot of people in the future.
Judy De Silva is a member of the Grassy Narrows First Nations. She spoke with Jane Williams yesterday. On National Aboriginal Day, June 21st, the Public Service Alliance of Canada announced that it was partnering with the community of Grassy Narrows to demand Justin Trudeau make good on his promise to fix the drinking water crisis in First Nations communities. You can find out more about that campaign and the issues at thirstyforjustice.ca.